I really appreciate being here. It's really fun talking with you guys. And I'm excited to do that more in the future, to get to know all of you and also just to be around here. Tonight, you guys have been going through the Ten Commandments, and we're going to talk about the fourth one of those, the Sabbath, the commandment to remember it and keep it holy. So the Sabbath is about rest, right? It's this idea of resting from work. Personally, that's a huge value for me. I really like rest. I don't know about you guys. Maybe you're like workaholic and you just go, go, go. I respect that. I'm not like that. If anything, I have the problem of resting too much and wanting to rest at inappropriate times. But I think rest is something that's actually really good for us if it's done properly. We all recognize rest is a good thing. It's done at proper times and in proper ways. So tonight we're going to talk about God's prescription for rest, what that looks like in the Bible and why it's commanded for us. So I'm just going to read the passage for tonight first. It's Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. That's the first thing printed in your handout there. And we're just going to go through this and talk about what the Sabbath is and then how we can obey this commandment in our life. So I'm going to go ahead and read Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So we're going to first talk about what the Sabbath is, and then how we can obey God's commands to make it holy. So first, what is the Sabbath? The first thing we need to understand is that the Sabbath is a day of rest, right? The word translated Sabbath in English comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, meaning to cease or to end or to rest. Okay, it's very straightforward. And in Exodus here, in verse 11, we actually see the reason that there's a day of rest. The author of Exodus looks back from this commandment to creation, where God, in 6 days, made the heaven and the earth, the sea, all that is in them, but then he rested on the seventh day. So this is a day of rest that God originally took after creation. And this is the second thing we can understand here, right? The Sabbath is instituted in creation. It's actually instituted in creation by God. And this is actually pretty significant because the Sabbath, the day of rest, is not a result of the fall, right? When humanity sinned against God, one of the consequences of that was God placing a curse on work, making all the work we do in some ways really futile and burdensome and feel like toil. And that would take a long time to cover with any sort of depth, but we can at least recognize here that the reason given for remembering the Sabbath, this command, is because God rested. Not because there's a curse on work, not because our work is bad, but because God rested. And this is something more than just rest from futile work, right? It's something good in and of itself. And there's something else we can see in this passage as well. The Sabbath is holy. Exodus 20, verse 11 continues, "Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." And I want to take a minute and define the word holy, because I think we can have kind of an interesting view about that. I recently saw a message series called The Holiness of God by R.C. Sproul. And in that series, he makes the assertion that in the Bible, the word holiness kind of has a primary meaning and a secondary meaning. And the secondary meaning is like moral righteousness or purity, like a good moral virtue. Right, that's honestly what I would consider, like I would think of first. When I hear the word holy, it's like, oh, you know, something that's morally pure, something righteous. But there's actually another meaning that's usually more intended here, and that's something like set apart or different or other. So when we say God is holy, for instance, what we primarily mean is that God is different from us. We're not, first of all, speaking about his moral purity and his righteousness, although he has those things. We're speaking about the way he is different or set apart from us as creatures. And if we read holy as referring to moral purity, this verse could be kind of confusing, right? Because a day doesn't really have a moral value, There's no moral value necessarily in the day. But if we understand it as something set apart or different or special, that can actually help us understand what's being said. So keeping the Sabbath holy, or God making this day holy, is not referring to a moral purity in the day itself. It's actually referring to the setting apart of the day for something special or unique or different. And, you know, what is special about it? Right? It says that God made it special. What is special about it? Well, God rested, right? That's what's special. And God didn't need to rest, right? He's all powerful, so he can do whatever he wants anytime he wants. He didn't need to rest. But Jesus actually tells us why he did rest, why he instituted the Sabbath in his earthly ministry. So there's a situation in Mark chapter 2 where Jesus and his disciples have an encounter with some Pharisees. And it's important to understand who at least a little bit of who those guys are, right? They were these Jewish leaders in Jesus' day who were extremely devoted to following God's law. And they were, in fact, overly and overzealous in following the law, where they would actually add restrictions on what you could or couldn't do, including some on the Sabbath. Right? So they had some restrictions that God didn't even give on what you could or couldn't do on those days. So we're going to pick up in Mark chapter 2, verse 23, where it describes the situation and his encounter with the Pharisees. It says, "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?'" Right? They have this law that you couldn't do any part of the harvest process on the Sabbath. It's like, these guys are picking grain? That's literally against the law. And Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" So we see that from Jesus' words here that the Sabbath is designed and commanded for our benefit. This is not supposed to be something that locks us into something we don't want to do. It's actually designed and commanded for our benefit. And God didn't rest because he needed to, right? He did it as a way to demonstrate for us how we should approach work and rest. And he commands us to observe the Sabbath, to remember it and make it holy, because it's going to be good for us to do that. This is something we need to recognize, that this is not a burden. It's actually something good for us. So to sum up all of what we've gone through so far, the Sabbath is a day of rest that God has set apart as special for the benefit of all mankind. All right, this is what the Sabbath is. Now in Exodus 20, 8 through 11, the actual command given to us is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So now that we know what the Sabbath is and what it means for a day to be holy, we can make some applications on how to obey this command for ourselves. So how can we remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? Firstly, we can rest from work. We rest from work. God rested on the seventh day after creation, and we likewise are commanded to have a time of rest in our regular schedule. And this is specifically a once every 7 days deal, right? At least this is a pattern set by God in creation, and it's the example given in the passage we're considering tonight. It's for 6 days you work, and one day you rest. So clearly it was a serious thing for God to let his people know this. I mean, he told them to do this, not because it was, you know, okay, don't murder, don't steal, and you may as well remember the day too. It's like, no, God, this is God's top 10, right? Like this made it into God's top 10. So it's really, I think we could easily group the commandments and say, well, murdering is a really serious deal. Obviously, society would be better if people did not murder each other. Obviously, society would be better if people don't steal. Disobeying that has obvious negative consequences for us and for everybody around us. But things like not taking the Lord's name in vain and remembering the Sabbath also made it in God's top 10. Now, I'm not saying that not remembering the Sabbath is the same thing as murder, but it at least is something we should consider probably more important than we do. So this is a once every 7 days we rest. This is the model God exemplifies and what he commands for us. Now, What could this practically look like to have a day of rest set apart? I think one thing you just need to recognize is that everything should be to the glory of God. And part of what that means is that you work really hard when you need to work. And this doesn't mean you're literally like, you know, 6 a.m. to midnight, you're just working all the time. But I think far too often we tend toward not working excellently. And that actually means that we don't have a clear time of rest either. So Colossians 3, 23 and 24, the Apostle Paul tells us, he says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So when we work, we should work seriously. And then the day of rest should be an actual, complete day of rest, where we do not work. And we should do any work we're responsible for as if God were our boss, right? And we should follow this commandment as well. So we work hard for 6 days, and then we have a Sabbath and rest for 1 day. And you may have some different ideas about what rest is like. Maybe you're like a nap, literally just, I want to take a nap. That is rest. Maybe it's like a nice walk in the park, like a chair and a blanket with a book. You know, maybe your idea of rest is staring at a screen for 10 hours. I really hope that's exaggeration, but maybe not. John Piper, he's a really good author and pastor. He has a helpful perspective on what rest should be like. In this article he has on the Sabbath, he says this. He says, if you sit at your desk all week, probably you should walk or ride a bike on Sunday. If you work on the farm, breaking your back all week, which is what they did in the Old Testament, sit down and take a long nap on Sunday. The rest piece, I think, is physiologically and from a creation order standpoint wise. I use the word wisdom rather than mandating any particular one way of doing it. Just take 1 day in 7 and set it aside as the day when you are physically recharging. And I can personally think of at least 2 components to rest. These are just my opinion, right? One would be taking time away from your normal work, whether that's school or otherwise. You know, if you have a job, I would encourage you to tell your employer that you're unable to work 1 day out of the week. If it's possible, a day where you can not do any schoolwork either. That really may seem impossible for your situation, but again, this is something that God commands us to do, that we should do our best to follow. And it's not a result of cursed work, it's actually something that's good in and of itself. And then a second part of resting would, I think, just doing things that help you feel energized. You know, relaxed and ready to go to work productively. I can think of some different things that are like that for me. You know, playing drums, even though it's not relaxing in a physical sense, really helps me feel loose and relaxed. Playing board games with friends, even if it's kind of competitive, makes me feel relaxed and rested. So those are just good things. You know, doing things that can help us be energized and ready to go back to work. And then having a day of rest from work, it also gives us time not only to be refreshed, but also to remember the things that are really important, right? And these are God, His Word, and people. Resting from work should give us really an appreciation for and remembrance of God's creation, His activity in our life, the people He's put in our life. And this is actually directly related to the next way we should remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, and that's we worship God. So we rest from work, and we worship God. This is specifically setting aside time to worship God in a community of believers. And that really should happen, again, weekly. Obviously, worship is not confined to the Sabbath. Like, we're worshiping God tonight as a community. But there is something special about a Sabbath day where you gather together with the people of God and worship. And there are 2 major ways you can do that. It's worship, singing worship together, and sitting under biblical preaching, right? Worship and intake of the word should obviously be a daily pattern in an individual Christian's life, but there's something set apart or different or holy about gathering together with God's people of all these different ages and people groups, and just gathering together on a Sunday morning in a local church body for those purposes. So that's not something we should neglect. Right, this is really important for us. And if Sunday is the day that you worship and also happens to be the day you rest from work, that's fine. Honestly, if I was going to give you personal advice on how best to follow this, that's probably what I would say to do. Is just on Sunday, plan not to work and also make it a priority to attend a church. If there's another day that you rest and you end up attending church on Sunday as well, that's fine too. I would just say it's not as easy to keep clear. But John Piper, after giving some insight on his own approach, he wraps up the article that I quoted earlier. He says, we just want to very much say that you need to rest one day a week, and you need to find a way to say to the Lord, I love you, and I reverence you, and I honor you in a special way on this day. So worship and rest are two purposes of the Sabbath, and two ways we can remember it and keep it holy. And then I have one more point tonight, and that is related really to the overarching purpose of these things. It's we remember the hope of eternal rest. Right? Even though the Sabbath is not instituted because of sin, it does take on a different level of significance because of sin. There are consequences for sin. You know, our work is futile and in some ways burdensome. And worse, we're actually separated from God's goodness because of the way that we disobey and rebel against him. We are cut off from the only one who can give us real rest and what we long for the most. So when we remember the Sabbath every week, when we rest from work and worship God, we should actually remember the promise of God to save and restore everyone who believes in Jesus as the way of salvation. Jesus accomplished the work that we could not accomplish, right? Even if we worked for eternity, we would never be able to pay off the debt that we incur because of our sin. But Jesus accomplished it for us. And this is something Jesus tells us people will receive if they come to him. In Matthew 11, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Right? Jesus is the one who ultimately can provide rest for us. And apart from him, we don't have any hope of being made right with God. So our trust and faith in Jesus can point us toward not just a temporary and this life focused rest, but also a full and perfect rest forever. I think the first verse of the hymn In Christ Alone speaks to this beautifully. I would encourage you just to listen to the feeling that this writer has toward Christ. He says, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strivings cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. There's a lot of security and peace, and even what I would call rest, evident in these words. Right, it points us to the solid foundation that Christ provides in this life, as well as the hope for the next. And so none of us knows exactly what this is going to be like, right, when we go to be with the Father in heaven. But it's something we can look forward to because of the hope that we have in Christ. This is not morbid. It's really something that every Christian should look forward to, because it's what we're ultimately, what the result of our salvation is, our glorification with the Father in heaven. And in 1 John 3, 1 through 3, we get a beautiful picture of this from John. He says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. And we can especially, I think, look at this last sentence here, right? All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. He says that this hope for eternity as children of God, the hope of beholding Christ in glory, not only is something that helps us endure difficulty in this life, it's not just something that strengthens us in this life, it actually also makes us more like Jesus. So as we dwell on and focus on this confident expectation that we have in Christ, it actually makes us more like him. That is something that really encourages me to remember that. And that's why we remember what we do on the Sabbath, right? We rest from work and take time to worship God. We're focusing on this hope that we have for the future. So the Sabbath it's just really astonishing, right? In the beginning, God instituted the Sabbath. Before sin, before we see anything about people and their interactions with God, after creating everything, God institutes the Sabbath. And every week, he commands his people to observe it. It's supposed to be once every 7 days deal. So for our entire life, the Sabbath should be significant. It should be something that we do in a way that we worship God. And it has significance for eternity. I mean, we look forward to the eternal rest in Christ. This is really amazing. And it makes sense why God thinks it's so important to put it in his top 10. Right? That it has significance for the beginning, throughout our entire life, and throughout history, and for eternity as well. So I would encourage you to really just take the Sabbath, take the day of rest and worship seriously, and obey God in that way. I think it's a way that all of us can grow in really looking forward to the things that God wants us to focus on. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll have some more time to worship. Father, thank you so much for giving us a day of rest, just to have imperfect rest from the work we have now, and remembering and looking forward to the confidence that we have in resting in you forever. I just pray that you would help us to take that seriously, to be really intentional to follow you in obeying this command. And I pray that you would really bless us and just through that as well, that we would be strengthened through remembering the Sabbath. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.